have to do. This Christmas afternoon, we just want to close our eyes and bow our heads. Just want to call my neighbor Roderick, come and open up and we'll pray this afternoon.
Just want to also announce Brother and Sister Wallace, who will be celebrating their 14th wedding anniversary today. We also want to remember them tonight. Could we just bow our heads, close our eyes? Our kind Heavenly Father, Lord, in our souls we are rejoicing tonight, Lord. Lord, are rejoicing that we know it's echoing back in heaven, Father. Lord, how thankful we are for your divine presence that is in our midst tonight, Lord God. Lord, we think of the evening time, the cool of the day, that you came down and visited your son and your daughter in the Garden of Eden. Lord, this evening, Lord, we know that you is in the midst of us in the cool of the evening. Lord God, even as your word has spoken unto us in this day and said, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and we as your wife had made ourselves ready, Father. And Lord, when we watch at the emblem on the outside there, Father, we see a word saying, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And Lord God, we are thankful tonight that we have come to this great wedding ceremony, Father, to be united with you in this evening time, Father, that we tonight could come and rejoice because we know that we are one with you, Father. We have become bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. How thankful we are tonight for your love, of your Holy Ghost that could be in our midst tonight, Lord. We thank for each and every one that could gather in our midst tonight, Lord. We thank you for our brothers and their wives tonight, Lord God, that could come in holy matrimony, Father. Lord, we know it's honorable tonight, Lord God. Lord, to the world it may be strange, but tonight to us, Lord God, it means much more than just a gathering, oh God, or a marriage ceremony, Father. Lord, because we know you is the one who has instituted it, Father, and we are doing it in accordance with your word, Father. Lord, we are thankful even for our brother Wallace and his wife, Lord, for 14 years, Lord God, that you have kept them in holy matrimony, Father. May you bless them also, Father. Lord, may you give them a fruitful life, Lord, and may the blessing of the Holy Ghost be continually be upon them, Father. Even our brothers and their wives as they come tonight, we come to rejoice with them also, Father. We come to glorify and magnify your name, Lord. Oh, how we rejoice from the depths of our hearts, Lord. And thank you, oh God, for everything that you have done to make tonight, Lord God, a memorable one to each and every one of us, Lord God. May your great Holy Spirit continue to hover over us, Lord. Continue to bless us, continue to anoint us. Lord God, we push back all the formality tonight, Lord. We get in the Spirit, Lord, to truly rejoice, to truly be exceedingly glad, Lord, that those who do not even know you could come to know you tonight, Lord, could come to recognize your divine presence that is in our midst tonight, Lord God. May you anoint your man's servant tonight, Lord. Lord, we know that he's already anointed, Father. We know that you have positionally placed him there, Father, for the purpose to lead your people in this hour, in this third Exodus, Father. May you continue to anoint him tonight, Lord God, and inspire him that the word that will be spoken will reach home in the heart of those, Lord God, who may not even know you tonight, Father. Lord God, and may the songs that will be sing, everything that will be done, may be done in the order of your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord. That, Lord, when we leave here, we leave rejoicing, praising, and thanking your Father for a time that we have spent in your presence. Continue to abide with us and take charge of every portion of the service. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord in any language this afternoon, amen. So we have something to praise Him upon, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
love you tonight. Everyone, just lift your hands. You have something to praise Him about.
Lord, we love you.
Tonight we want to worship Him, praise Him, welcome everyone. Just feel free and let's worship our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised tonight. Amen. Let us sing that song. Clap your hands. Let's sing unto Him and let's worship Him tonight, for He is worthy to be praised.
Is worthy to be praised.
Oh, let's magnify the Lord.
Oh,
isn't He worthy to be praised? Hallelujah.
To be praised.
Oh,
magnify the Lord, for He is worthy to be praised.
Hosanna,
Hosanna, blessed be the Rock, blessed be the Rock of my salvation.
Hosanna,
blessed be the Rock, blessed be the Rock of my salvation.
Oh, glory, glory to His name.
Glory, glory to His name.
He lives and reigns forevermore. He lives
and reigns forevermore.
Oh, glory, glory to His name. Everyone singing Hosanna.
Hosanna. Blessed be the Rock.
Oh, blessed be the Rock of my salvation.
Hosanna. Blessed be the Rock.
Oh, blessed be the Rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is His name.
Jireh
is His name, for He provided all my needs.
He provided all my needs. Jireh
is His name,
for He provided all my needs.
Let everyone sing Hosanna,
Hosanna.
Hosanna, magnify the Lord.
Oh, magnify the Lord.
Oh, for he is worthy to be praised tonight.
For he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord. To be praised.
We'll sing Hosanna.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Hosanna.
Blessed be the rock.
Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Thou art worthy to be praised tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory to your name tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Could we all have our seat tonight? Amen. We have Sister Deborah Rodrick amongst us. Want to sing for us, I'm going to live the way Jesus wants me to live tonight.
There's been times when giving and loving brought pain, and I promise I would never let it happen again. But I found out that loving was even in losing, I win. I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. I'm going to give until there's just no more to give. I'm going to love, love till there's just no more love. I could never, never out love my Lord. He told us that only in dying we live, and he gave when it seems there was nothing to give. Jesus loved when loving brought heartaches and love. Forgave on the old rugged cross. I'm going to live the way he wants me to give. I'm going to give until there's just no to give. I'm going to
Hallelujah. I could never love the Lord tonight. Amen. Could we all stand? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. For he has done great things for us. Amen. Could we just really worship him from the depths of our hearts with appreciation? You might come into this building, find it strange, nothing is strange. Amen. We all have something that we could bless his holy name for. Amen. Here we are, lives in our body tonight. Could we lift our hands, sing unto him, all the strangers? We all have something to bless his holy name for. Amen. Unto him now. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord.
New creations in Christ. The old things pass away and all things become new. Lord, when we get to enter in, Lord, into another world, another kingdom. Lord, we get to worship you in spirit and in truth. We get to have this hope in our bosoms that we have tonight to know that we are pilgrims and strangers. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Lord, how we thank you, Father, for that blessed assurance inside of our hearts tonight. And Lord, as we are gathered here tonight to witness this marriage ceremony, how we thank you that you, the first one, Lord, that perform a marriage ceremony is here amongst us. You, the one, Lord, who joined these hearts together, who brought these individuals to know one another, Lord, reveal your love in their hearts and reveal to them, Lord, the pardon in this life and the earthly pilgrimage upon the face of this earth. And they would, Lord, become, Lord, a husband and wife, Lord. We thank you that we could come be witnesses here this evening. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that you have drawn by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do look forward as you would speak to our hearts. Lord, your presence would confirm your word. Lord, you would show yourself alive. We thank you for the presence and the anointing that we already feel, Father. May it grow greater and greater, Lord, until we all be caught up into the divine love of the Almighty God as it be shed abroad in our hearts tonight. Lord God, in such a mighty way tonight, that we sweep out even the outside of this building and encompass everyone that is even standing on the outside. This great time of fellowship, this great love feast that we all come to partake in tonight. May you be the principal team of this service, Father. May you be the center of attraction tonight. Lord, may your name be praised. May you get honor and glory. Lord God, I pray if there be any that don't know you tonight, let the love of God The power of the Almighty God touched them, Father. And Lord God, melt them in your presence, O God, and humble them under the mighty hand of God. And Lord, they can come to know that fountain too. And they can know you, whom to know is life eternal. We commit ourselves into your hands now, asking you to lead us and direct us in the paths of service tonight. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, maybe you could share with somebody tonight. We want to welcome everyone. We want everyone to feel welcome in their hearts. We're expecting a wonderful time of fellowship in the presence of God tonight. And everyone that is here, we're just glad to have you. Whether you're inside the building or on the outside, we just welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so happy that God gave us a double blessing tonight, that we're going to have one couple to be married, and we have another one, both of them brothers. And we really thank God for the extra blessing that He has bestowed upon us, that we can all share in this great love feast. I know that, we may not know some of the strangers and visitors, but I believe that you all are loved by Selwyn and by Kelvin and the wives, and with all your heart, and you have come here to be a witness on this blessed occasion. And we have come here for the same purpose, and to give God thanks, so we could all join in one mind and one spirit, and let God just have His wonderful way amongst us. Amen. I'd like to read out of Genesis chapter 24 tonight. In the book of Genesis, a beautiful love story in the Bible. And we just want to focus our attention upon this love story, and maybe the Holy Spirit will take it and teach us a few things tonight that will just warm our hearts. The desire to have the Lord Jesus Christ become ruler of our lives. And, be the one who would be the center of all that we do, all that we say, all that we desire to be, that He could be the center of it all. Genesis 24, reading from verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand upon my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son, the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Suppose the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land, for I needs bring thy son again unto the land from where thou camest. And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou, that thou bring not my son there again. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke unto me, and who swore unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from there. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt declare from this my oath, Only bring not my son there again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore unto him concerning the matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let her be the one whom thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have finished drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to learn whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden ring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her wrist of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and fodder enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the ring and bracelets upon his sister's wrist, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spoke the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou outside? For I have prepared a house and a room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and fodder for the camels, water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set food before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told my errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he is become great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and unto him had he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, suppose a woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son, of my kindred, of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, which thou, when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little drink from thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore unto him. And I put the ring in her nose and the braces upon her wrist. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah before thee, take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord had spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, I pray, away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah their sister and their nurse and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those who hate them." And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, the same one she watered, amen, and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she alighted from the camel. For she said, had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes one more time. Father, what a beautiful story. As our hearts and minds focus upon this little story this evening, and as your Spirit, Lord, would give us a little context out of this, may our hearts be warm when we look into the divine inspiration and leadership of Almighty God in bringing a man and woman together, Lord, the way that you work. And oh God, may we realize that you give us your word as an example that we should live by. And Lord, even this day, thousands of years after, you, the unchanging God with unchanging ways, still work today, Father, in the lives of men and women, your sons and daughters, even as you did work back in Bible times. I pray, dear God, you would speak to our hearts tonight and you would bless us. And we would enjoy what we hear. And we would prepare our hearts that when you would pronounce your blessing upon these that stand here tonight, who come to be united, Lord, I pray it would be such a climax in this service. The Lord, this place and every heart will be filled with your great august presence. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Quiet for a little while and just hear the word of God. We just want to speak a little bit before we come to the main part of the service, which is the ceremony itself. But while we would sit in his presence tonight and we would speak a little of the word, that we could look into the scripture and our hearts be blessed by seeing the unchanging God, unchanging ways, and the people that serve God and walk before God today, which is the very same God who inspired that servant to pray that prayer, who inspired that woman to do something to confirm to the servant that the thing was of the Lord.
that he could have confidence in what he was doing. I think many a times that people are uncertain and they have fear in stepping out to do something, and they worry and they try to take precautions, and they would go to such drastic measures because of the fear in them controlling them, only because they are not certain and only because they lack the assurance that would settle them and give them peace and confidence to know what they're doing is all right, is blessed of the Lord, is God inside of it. Regardless of what circumstance you'll be confronted by, it will be taken care of. Every person will have that type of feeling and that type of inner satisfaction in their heart. I think marriages will be very happy.
Amen.
That even when problems come, it will not cause a disturbance. It will not cause fear and havoc and panic. It will not cause further problems. But people knowing that the thing proceed from the Lord, people knowing it was God's divine will in bringing them together, people knowing that the Almighty God was the one who desired that in the first place and allowed that desire to come into their hearts of those in which he was going to fulfill that desire, so they could desire what God desired for them. What confidence they will have. But if we examine the present conditions, as young people especially in this type of society, and together, is a day when people will be happy, they'll be worried. Because they would see people going to something that they know is part of human life, is part of a social life. It's something ordained by God, and God is the first one performed the first marriage. And it's blessed of God. But yet they would see that by the statistics today, 9 out of 10 just end up on the rocks and fall apart. And then the question arises in people's hearts. Could people be happily married? Have a happy home? Have a wonderful family, could be contented in this type of times. Could what we see that, you know, work in the lives of people years ago, could it work today in these modern times? Many people, you find today they want to go into marriage. And they're among the fear that they have. They're among the fear people put in them. Because of the among the broken homes that exist today. And there's more broken homes today in the society, in the community, than there's homes held together by the love of God. There's homes where people are, you know, united and happy. They could hardly find a family sitting on the supper table and praying and giving God thanks for their food together, because they don't share those type of things no more. They seem to be alienated. Television has become the main thing in the home. It's a place that the people is gathered around. Long ago, people would gather around the supper table and they would look into one another's faces and they would talk to the parents and talk to the children, and their family would have communion and fellowship, and it would be a place of giving of thanks. And be a place where, you know, that they look forward for. Because the mother, she's a make of the home, and she's in the home all day, and she's trying to repair a meal because the husband's out working. She knows he's going to come tired. He's the one earning a living for them. The little children is out in the school. And they're going to come in the evening and look forward for the time when the family will be united around the supper table. When you be united around the family altar. But today, these things no longer exist. So everything has become a pretense. The devil has subtly replaced these things with other modern things. And then people have become blinded, that they fail to realize why their home have come into such a degraded state and condition. They have become more of a battleground and confusion And the delinquents that are produced in the community is because of delinquent homes. Because of delinquent churches. Because everybody have dropped the standard. And Hollywood have become the trendsetter for everybody to follow. And people look to that because that is a more generally accepted thing in the society. But always, God is never defeated. If there is just a handful of people always, God will have a people who will stand with God's word in every generation regardless. And whether it might be unnoticed by the public, yet in times, and maybe tonight, in times like these, and for such a time like this, God will use an occasion like this to display to people that there is still a reality. That these things still exist. And these things still function within the home and the lives of people, where people can look at people and see something solid. That all the demon powers that are destroying homes and breaking up family lives cannot prevail against people that are rooted and grounded and established in the love of God and the word of God. Counselors, and they get influenced by all kind of old wives' fables and tradition. And that has more preeminence when decisions have to be made, when things have to be done. That is given more preeminence than the word of God. That is why it cannot face the challenge. Because God have given us his word to reveal to us how we should live. Whether you are a single person, whether you are a married person, whether you're in a broken home, God has shown us in his word how we should live. And many times we see that life and we say, I can't live that life. And we think that it's something too great for us to live and we cannot seem to attain to that. So we become frustrated and we choose something that we feel we can live. But God never intended you to live that life with your own life. He knows to begin with. When you look at it, you're going to see yourself coming short and insufficient to be able to meet his standards and demands. That is why Jesus Christ died. So that his life could come back in you. And his life in you would live what God is asking of you. His own life in you would be able to do everything that God is requiring a person. Things that your flesh would seem hard to do, his life would see that is easy to do. I've already done it. Because when he was here, he was blameless. And that is the very same life that is coming back inside of a real believer. Amen. Now, the Bible tells us everything about marriage. And the least consulted book when problems arise. When somebody is seeking a wife, it's the least consulted book. People watch all kind of movies made in Hollywood by divorcees and try to pattern their life after what a divorcee makes. See, they look at some man who maybe is not even true to his marriage vow. Is it a standard for them? See, because they have been blinded and the devil subtly have taken away the Bible from them. And it seems an old-fashioned book. And what they put on the press and you find the bookstores, it seems more fashionable and quick to read. But if the people would only realize that it's a trick and they are being tricked into doing what they're doing. They may not see themselves being tricked, but they are being tricked into doing what they're doing. And as we focus upon this little love story tonight in the Bible, it was put inside of here because God knows that sons of God would seek a wife, would desire a wife. God put the story about the first honeymoon in the Bible. He put about marriages that fell apart in the Bible. He put in the Bible the sorrows of childlessness. When people wanted children and it caused tension in the home because they couldn't have no children. All those stories in the Bible. There is nothing that no husband and wife ever went through that God did not put in the Bible. And there is no problem that they have that God didn't put the solution in the Bible. They may not know it. But it was right inside of the end. See, even to the place in the Bible where the story about Leah, Girl by the name of Leah, this father had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. And Leah and the father was in a conspiracy to trick Jacob into marrying her. And gain a husband by trickery. All those things in the Bible. So there is nothing tonight when it comes to marriage, when it comes to the family life, when it comes to the home, there is nothing in the Bible laying there for us that we can know exactly how we should live. Sometimes people quickly run to the neighbor for advice or run to the friend for advice because they might feel comfortable talking with a neighbor or a friend. But the neighbor or the friend might be insufficient and unequipped to handle what they're asking them to assist them in. And because they have not been taught the word of God, because they don't have maybe a place where they could fellowship and receive spiritual direction and counsel from the word of God, maybe they might go to some old, just formal church, just on a Sunday, a prayer book, say a creed or something. So the religious life is just a religious formality. So they have nothing spiritual behind it. They may find themselves in a situation that they're frustrated. But here tonight, we're not just talking about a story in the Bible, but we're applying it to this very present day. We are applying it to tonight, to the very marriage, that ceremony that is about to take place. To show that God is the same God. To show that there are people of God still on the earth, that God deals with them in the very same manner. And that in this day, when it might seem that more educated people might have university degrees, might have big jobs, might be in some great profession, might be some leaders in the society, when they can't even make the marriage work, humble men and women walking before Almighty God, living a consecrated life, has a power to face the problems of today. In the time of inflation, when everybody is grumbling and murmuring, and that is influencing people to steal and cheat and compromise, there is people can live honest and be contented with what they have because they know they're walking before a God who could provide for them. In times of when there's hardly any job security and people trying to pay bribes and all kind of victimization or work to get positions, there's people know that it's God who has provided a job for them. It's God who has given them the daily bread to eat. See, so when we look, we see that there are people, regardless of the circumstances, could live a life that's above reproach. So blameless that it could shake the community with such impact. The community that they live in. The people that they come in association with. That their lives could make this Bible. And these things that we see, and we think with great mighty prophets and great men to live those things to show that here it is being lived out flawlessly in this 20th century. When there's so much evil on every hand. When it's fashionable, when adultery becomes fashionable. See? When women will try all kind of things to hold their marriage together. Except praying God. Except faith. Because many of these things never started from the Lord. It didn't proceed from the Lord. And we observe the little story. Before we could grasp the reality, it started with a prayer. Notice the thing we read about was prayer, worship, rejoicing in seeing God fulfilling immediately the request from a sincere heart. We see gifts, we see eating and drinking, but we see God's name being mentioned in it all. Bible said they ate and they drank. Bible said they offered gifts and jewel and gold and silver. But the Bible also, while they were doing those things, they were bowing and praising God for it, saying the thing proceed from the Lord. Because Christians, looking at these things, it's something sacred. And we must first know something of Abraham. And why he cautioned the servant the way he did and made him swear an oath. If we are to grasp the reality of the prayer that was prayed with desperation by the servant who was given the charge to get a bride for Abraham's son. And to see the divine working of God in fulfilling the promise he had made when he answered the prayer of the servant. The story would mean nothing. We would hardly be able to enter into the reality of the story if we didn't know why Abraham cautioned that servant that way. I just want to tell you a little bit about it. You see, Genesis 24 comes after Genesis 23. And Genesis 23 comes after Genesis 22. And from Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham, this is a man that God called had no children. And God told that man, I will make you a great nation. And that man was 75 years old, and his called his wife was 65 years. He couldn't have no children. They tried as a young man. His body was dead. Her milk veins were dry up. She was barren all her life. And the Almighty God, by the working of his supernatural in their life, brought them back to a place where they could have children. And then the time came when God tested Abraham and said, take that boy up and kill him, offer him for a sacrifice. And Abraham, with faith, trusting God, knowing that God made me a promise, I will have a great nation, and knowing that that boy didn't even have no wife yet, didn't even have no children yet, and out of that boy, the seed was going to come. And when he went up there, God proved to him he could not go back on his word. God proved to Abraham how strong his promise was. How that boy cannot die. Nothing could stop that boy from having those children. Then Genesis 23, Sarah is dead. And the boy isn't married yet. His mother is dead now. She was brought back young, came back old and died. The boy got to be a big man and have no wife. And the father is old also. So he realized, look, time I get this boy married. Because God promised I would be fulfilled. And I would like to see him married before I go, before I shut my eyes. So when the time comes, he called his servant. And this servant was a trusted servant. His name is not mentioned in the Bible, but we know him to be Eliezer. He was in charge of Abraham's household. And for believers here who will love the scripture and the deeper things in the scripture, Abraham, Isaac, and Eliezer held the mystery of God threefold manifestation, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How God is working through three offices, and Rebecca was the bride, an appointed bride. And the Father was seeking a bride for his Son, and the Holy Spirit went to hunt out the appointed bride. And the bride must be a blood relation. Hallelujah. And the Son, the Father had given all things unto his Son. He was heir of everything. And the great drama unfolded in the evening time. Amen. So could it be in the evening time that the Father is seeking a bride for his Son, an appointed bride? And the Holy Spirit is hunting out that bride tonight. His manifested attributes. Amen. To quicken them. And it's all taking place in the evening time. And Eliezer, the servant, knew that God is working through that channel of him going to seek the bride. He knew that God is working to fulfill the promise he had made to Abraham, saying, I will make you a great nation. And in Isaac, your seed was going to be called. Because he was going to get the wife through which that Abrahamic promise could be fulfilled, through which the Messiah was going to come. So Eliezer knew of the sacred responsibility, because he was going to get a wife, and that wife was going to be part of that husband, and through that lineage, God himself was going to be made manifest. And Abraham says, see, a certain set of woman, don't even go among them. Because he knew those women was going to turn his son's heart away from God. Those idol worshippers, Canaanites, like the people of the world, the denominational system today, idol worshippers. Some man is the idol. Some man word they put before God word.
some denominational system, some church they put before God's word. They believe in three gods and all these things. And he said, don't go among those men. The servant might have said, but those are real pretty women, you know, master. And have some them very talented, have some could act very well. They could be a movie star, have some very could make it in the modeling profession. And Abraham might have called his servant and said, see, but the thing is, God called me out to that. Down in Ur, the child is where I come from, was like Hollywood. God called me out to that. And when the servant says, he says, look, what about the woman don't want to come where you're sending me to bring her from? Should I take the boy back there? He said, don't even carry my son back there because God give me this land. So the whole thing was governed by a divine purpose. The whole thing was God in it. Abraham was only asking to get a wife for his son because God's promise had to be fulfilled. He only made the servant swear to take it from a certain section because God's word had to be fulfilled. The servant went out and prayed a certain prayer. And the prayer we want to focus on. We read it might look simple. And many a person seeking a wife, if they pray that way for a wife, not Lord, I can't take it, the flesh, and Lord, listen. No. If they pray for that kind of prayer, it will show they want somebody who can make a home and raise children. They don't want no pretty face, they don't want no little movie star, they don't want no little person easy to be influenced and carried about with everything. They don't want that. They want somebody to be a mother to the children, to make a home, to be in humility and serve them. So the servant began to pray. The Bible says he took 10 camels. And if you take the map where Abraham was living to where Mesopotamia was, where he sent him was thousands of miles. They had to cross desert. Let me draw the picture for you a little bit so you'll see what that prayer entailed. It would take days to make that journey with them camels. Maybe weeks. And the camel, they call them the sheep of the desert. They can make a long journey without water. But when the time comes, a camel have to drink water. It don't just drink a glass of water and stuff. One camel drink with a barrel of water. Cool. Especially after making a long journey, thousands of miles in hot desert. And this was 10 camels. And that well, the Bible says she run down to the well. Those wells, they had like a step that went underground. See? And they had a deep hole where the well was, actually where they dig the well. And they would let the bucket down and pull it out. And then fill the pitcher. And climb back up the steps. You see? Now I want you to notice something here. The wisdom of the servant. He didn't go in the marketplace. He didn't go around the stores and the cinemas to look for the wife. He went by the well where the young woman had to come out to fill the water. And the well was a wise place for a test. Because it was a place where hard work was exercised in fulfilling the daily task that was committed to the young maidens to supply the water for the home. So no lazy woman would be able to fulfill that prayer. Then to begin with, it had many women coming at that time, but it must be a virgin. Now some other woman might have come along and say, give you water in the camels. But she might not be a virgin, so she should be disqualified still. And he might not say, well, that look like what I pray for, only this part and fulfill, but I'll take it anyhow. No. He prayed specific. He lay out in the prayer what he wanted before God. Because he knew that this home, this bride was going to live in, God himself used to visit her home. And she would even have the role of entertaining God when he comes. Because in Genesis 18, God came to that home. God used to visit that home. And that's the home he was taking her in. He wasn't taking her down in no place where there's a lot of parties and these things. He was taking her to a life in an environment that God used to be there among them. Come and eat and drink with them. We see it in the Bible, Genesis 18. So he knew that to water them camels, that's the real part of the prayer. He said, let her give me some water, it's all right. But you see them camels there? Let her say, I will water the camels also.
Bible said, while he stood up there praying those things, he knew the sacred responsibility he was entrusted with. He knew the importance of his mission. So it was all indicated in the way he prayed. And if a man knows the importance of what it is going to be a husband, to be one desire to be a father, that's what it makes a man seek a wife to begin with. Because potentially you have those attributes inside of him. Like a woman, she's a bride, but she's not a mother yet until she has children. She might be a wife. But only when she has children, she could be a mother. And only when a man have a wife, could be a husband. Only when he have children, he could be a father. But outside that, he's just a son. He's just a brother. He might be a cousin. But yet the attribute to be a husband is inside of him. The potential to be a father is inside of him. He might pick up somebody's little baby and play with it and try to take care of it. Why? That potential won't express itself. So, knowing how important it is and seeing in the type of society, in the type of age, and the great damage that is being done because people go into these things unprepared and not led by God, we see the great effect it have and how much broken homes it produce. But when this servant was praying, he knows Abraham is not an ordinary man. And this boy, I carry this wife for, God himself showed that Abraham, that boy, how great that boy is. And Abraham was tested with that boy. And that boy came like out from the dead. And God manifests himself in his great power to create a ram instead of killing that boy. To show his love for that boy. And the character that boy displayed before God, being obedient and submitting himself to death. So he know, I can't carry no any guilt for that boy. It was pretty face, I wouldn't have to make all this journey. It was shapely body, I didn't have to make all this journey. It was money and profession, I didn't have to make all this journey. But Abraham wasn't looking for that. He was looking for a dedicated channel that God promised could be fulfilling. So the prayer that the servant prayed revealed that he was looking for a certain quality of character. And in his prayer, he specified she must be a virgin. And to pray that kind of prayer, it would take the divine hand of God in the matter for it to be fulfilled. Human ability could not work it out. He prayed a prayer that no people could come together and make a match and say, and try to push a move for this one and win this one, influence a big one for this one. It couldn't be done so. The kind of prayer he prayed, take God himself to intervene in the matter and fulfill God's own word that God spoke concerning that boy. So when that prayer was prayed, the servant knew, I'm going to stand up here and I might have to talk to her about, I might have to spend some weeks by this well before the right thing come up. Not knowing before he even finished praying, Rebecca came walking out. I believe maybe she wanted to be home. And she said, Mommy, I'll go for the water later. There's too much a crowd and I can't take all the old talk and the gossip it have by the well. I don't want to go out there. And I'm going to go later this evening. After everybody full the water, it's all right. And something came up and she had to go right there and then. Something moved her supernaturally. Because when God is working, and something proceeds from the Lord, God has been working on two ends. Witness must be given. This is not human ability. This is not human thinking. This is not human strategy. This is divine working of Almighty God. Rebecca did not know what she did. See? She didn't even know what she was doing. And what she didn't do it with the intention to get no gifts. I want you to notice when she went home and displayed the gifts. Just like the Pentecostals and the denominational churches. When they saw the gifts, Laban thought, man, I could do some works to get some of those gifts. He went out, Bible says he saw the gifts. So he went out with a lot of nice, kind words to the servant.
Come in, I have the place prepared for the camels. I have all this. Come in, blessing of the Lord. Because reading the Bible, we know the type of person Laban was. He always looking for some deal, some crooked deal with a man full of guile. Always looking to you know, come out a winner in some situation where he could be a very shrewd person. But Rebecca, she didn't do no intention. She didn't even see the man at gifts. The man gifts was hidden in the camel in the man bags. When she came out there and she saw that man, maybe she might say, good afternoon. Maybe give a nice, kind gesture. Go down the well. I want the man to, but look, I just finished praying. That's your first gift. Let me go and act upon what I asked God to fulfill. She went down the well. It might take about 5 minutes down there, pull up the water. She came back out with a pitcher on her shoulder. And you know them Eastern days with some big pitchers. No doubt she had on her shoulder there and she was going maybe singing on her way, determined to go home. All of a sudden, the man ran in her way and said, ma'am, good evening. How did the damsel fail to look upon a virgin? Neither had she known any man. He didn't know these things yet. He just prayed. He didn't know these things about her. But he said, I pray to give me a little drink of water for your pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. She didn't see that there was no approach. Maybe she said the reverence, the genuineness of that man, that she stopped to talk with him. She knew that wasn't some old man, some fast old man. And quickly, look at the respect. Drink, my Lord. I want you to notice, first to begin, she was displaying something unconsciously to match what the man was praying for. He was praying for a certain quality of character. And firstly, she was courteous. She was respectful. My Lord. She was kind. She said, look, I ain't supposed to have a talk to nobody. Mind your own business. Look me well down there. You want water? Go down there and fill up your own water now. And the Bible said she hastened to put up the picture. She wasn't being influenced. She was being willing. She hastened. And the very word says she hastened. It said 3 times. She hastened and let down a pitcher upon her hand and gave him the drink. And when she had finished giving the drink, he said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have finished. Like 10 camels, you know. And she poured the pitcher into the trough. And it might take about 50 pitchers to fill that trough. So she knew when she watched 10 camels, she saw them sweaty camels. And she saw the tired man with dust on his clothes and dust on his face, looking like he just finished a 10-day journey. She already knew how much water it was going to take, how much trips to that well it was going to take. She already knew how much it entailed. She knew the time she had to sacrifice, but she was so willing. It only revealed the type of willingness. She wasn't wearing well doing. And she wasn't doing it for reward. She wasn't doing it for popularity. She wasn't doing it to create an impression. She wasn't doing it to win favor. But the wisdom of the servant to go at the well. Because he knows it will take that kind of character to sail in water all them camels. It will take that kind of hard working, diligent person. Who is willing to serve? Who loves to serve? Because you know, to make a good wife, you must love to serve. You must be willing to serve. You mustn't be wary in well-doing. You know, take that kind of character, because to entertain God, who has come to that home where she was going? It will take the highest quality. And he prayed in such a way that somebody might as well be a good girl. She could learn, you know. She could learn. Give she a little time. She has a little temper, but that's all right. What she lack in spirit, she make up in beauty. You know. Oh, she have a good job, or the father didn't have a lot of money. That wasn't the situation. Because God, when something proceeds from the Lord, it is not governed by those things. Bible says, she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again. She wasn't walking, taking the time. It showed how energetic she was, how willing she was. And when she saw them camels, No doubt you see look again this man water and them camels that bring these people. They're the ones who pack these people. They're the ones she gets some water to. She was sympathetic. All these things, in that little situation, in a few moments' time, it displays so much qualities in that woman. Today somebody said, I should have brought in a long dress. And they tried some sarcastic thing. And they said, look at that nice girl there, in a halter back. Because that's what they're looking at. But here somebody's looking at quality, a character. Wasn't looking at flesh, wasn't looking at flesh, got all the beauty contest. So organize a beauty contest and choose a bride for Isaac. But I want you to notice, he was praying, he said, Lord, the bride you appoint for your servant Isaac. So it's something that proceeds from the Lord as a bride whom the Lord appoint for that person. When God provides a wife, is a bride, God is a point for the person. And the servant said, Lord, do it this way, so hereby I will know that this is the appointed bride. Because I know after face Abraham, and I know the sacredness of this responsibility, and I know the importance of this mission, and I know how much is at stake. And I know my master warned me. So it has to be done this way, because that's the only way I'll have the assurance in my heart that this thing is of God. A lot of people are running into things today, and only going to find it is not of God. Well, what attracted them, way off. Whether it's infatuation, whether it's a person maybe could have danced good. See, whether maybe they like how a person's dress, maybe a person who they might have had some influence over. So they think, well, since they have influence over that person, it kind of build up their ego a little bit. Make them feel that macho. See? But things that God don't come through that channel. Those are the things today that results in broken homes and destroy lives and make the damage irreparable. But look at God working. Working, that he took faith, that Abraham told him, the Lord whom before whom I walk, will send his angel and he will prosper thy way. Abraham, no, he said, look, I serve in God. And God showed me something about this boy. And the God who gave me this boy when I have no children, because I have no children. And the God who confirmed to me that this boy can't even die because God promised him to be fulfilled. That same God told me last night, it's time to get the wife for the boy. He said, so I know God will not let you come back here empty-handed. He said, but when you're choosing, Abraham spoke to him and let him know, it can't be no unequally yoke. No believer, no unbeliever, no. No Israelite, no Canaanite, no. Two different beliefs that will clash. That person will be able to be subject. And a woman must know her place. So notice, she was able to water 10 camels, make over 50 trips to that well. And by the time she had done it, she was tired. Her clothes maybe were wet. Her hair was all out of place. See? And the servant begin to wonder. He said, I wonder if I just done praying so quick, God fulfilled that. He himself said, let me keep kind of quiet a little bit and ask her who she is. He said, who are you? Tell me about your father and your mother, where you live, and tell me some of your family background. So my father named so and you know, while we talked to him about, you might have said, the Bible is written in a condensed form, you don't put in everything, but you make the picture real. So don't you have an uncle named Abraham? Yes, but I never know him. He and my father separated. He went to another land. Yes, I go. My father telling me about him. And here he began to find out it's God. And right in the public place, the servant bowed himself to the ground and began to give God thanks because he had a sign that this thing is of God. This thing wasn't humanly arranged. This thing wasn't somebody went down there and sent a letter and throw a little talk and somebody and tell, why do you try to do so? That person looking for a wife, you know, and you know, you're not getting old already. And you know, so and so going to happen, you know, he have a good work and you know, so and so on, you know. Not that. That's a flesh. That's not of God. When the time came, the Bible said, here he was, he began to make the journey now back home. All how they tried to stop him, but they gave witness. They say, we can't see good or bad. The thing proceeds from God. Even though the mother and the brother, all of them was there. And it might be strange to them. It might be kind of hurried. It might be different to the way they want it. They were spiritual enough to know the thing proceeds from God. And they tried to get in their own influence into the picture. And said, well, stay back 10 days because our family just do it that way. He said, look, don't hinder me, no man. Seeing God bless my journey, don't hinder me, please. So the mother said, look, I'll call the damsel, let her speak for herself. Might have kind of said confidently, the girl would have said no, you see. But the girl, all that time, was checking the experience and seeing how God was working. She said, I will go. And she began to journey. I want to know the bride was found in the evening time. She displayed her character and made a momentous decision in the evening time. And also, she saw her bridegroom in the evening time. Why the evening time? Why everything happened in the evening time? Because we are living in the evening time. And those things are only a shadow, like a negative, speaking about a greater reality that's going to happen in this day. Amen. God fulfilled the request exactly the way it was asked, so he could give faith in the heart of the servant that he would know the thing is of God. God is working on both ends. But the Bible said two can't walk together except they agree. And Eliezer could now make the journey with confidence, knowing that Isaac was going to be pleased because he had the confirmation that God was the author. That God who began the work was going to perform it unto the end. He already had the vindication that it's God in the matter, it's God working this thing out. It's apart from my human knowledge and my ability. It's God in the thing. I witness it, the family witness it, the girl witness it. They all testify the thing proceeds from the Lord. And I want you to see, when she was coming, look something at the bridegroom as he comes in the picture here now. The Bible says he went out to meditate in the evening time. He was no sucker boy down by the corner. He wasn't chasing some other person. He was out in the field meditating. His mind on heavenly things. He knowing the home he was in, he knowing the father he's raised before. He knowing what was expected of him as Abraham's son. He had experiences with the Almighty God. Especially Mount Moriah, he saw the power of God. He saw his father led by the Spirit to dig wells. He saw all kind of manifestations. He knew the background. He had a rich spiritual history behind his life. And it cultivated him to be such a kind of person. He didn't have time to waste. He was going in the wheat fields. I can imagine the evening was a beautiful evening. The sun was setting. Maybe a beautiful sunset. And here comes the Bible said he lifted his eyes and he beheld the camels coming. But just carrying some precious cargo. Bible said she also lifted her eyes and she beheld him. And I can imagine way in the distance there, it had some magnetic force. Amen. See, today some people are trying to arrange a marriage. They said, well, the children come too dark, get a person a light complexion. You're going to suffer, get a person a good job. That person have a temporary job, you see. You see, That person, the religion too strict, they're going to boss you around, you're not wearing long clothes, and you can't live that, you're too young still. All this kind of nonsense. Or you might suffer. See, why don't you get married to a doctor, a lawyer? Or try to get married to some profession? No, it wasn't like that. Christians, it has come from the Lord. And I'm pretty sure. A bride was appointed for that, Isaac. And when the time came, God inspired. The whole thing was of God. And God is going to bring the path. And finally, when they was coming in the evening time, and they saw one another, the Bible said she veiled herself. What does it mean? Why did she veil herself? Why did God put these things in the Bible? Let me give you a little quotation here. Jehovah Jireh, page 119. He said, like I was explaining why women veil their face when they get married. Why? Look at the bride coming tonight, veiled. Veil her face. Why? They may not understand that. But what they are doing is knowing that they are a body. They have no head. The man is the head. That's the reason Rebecca veiled herself. That's why the church ought to veil itself and surrender itself to Christ, because he's the head. He's the word. Bible says a husband and wife that Christ is the church, and Christ is the head, and the church is the body. And she veiled her head, showing she have no head. She wasn't going to be no dominating woman trying to fight her husband and rule her husband when he tell her something. She's going to be in subjection. She was glad to serve and be in subjection to him. She wasn't going to say, I have a better education than yours. She said, God gave you to rule over me. And I am pleased to be submitted to you. So that he wouldn't have to force that subjection, but be willing, because the love in her heart for her head, making her recognize that is her place. That is her role in the relationship. That can earn the respect from her husband. You see how that Rebecca watered that camel in the cool of the evening. Eliezer didn't find her in the morning. He never found her at noontime. He found her in the evening light. It shall be light in the evening time. Right, that's where he found. She veiled her face. She had no head. She was going to her head. This evening, for the first time in her life, she comes in veiled. Why? She's coming to her head. A woman, it's a nature of a woman to surrender to a man. And the nature of the church to surrender to Christ, surrender to his will. Just surrender. She has no thinking of her own. She takes his word, not somebody else's. If Eve would have done that, we'd have never had to die. But she listened to reasons. But the real bride of Christ takes the headship of Christ, the word, and only believes God's word. That's the real, the restored bride. It's nearly time, friends. It's later than you think. What is happening here this evening is a great mystery in the Bible. It's pointing to a greater reality. It's pointing to something that's happening in the spiritual realm. And the same as that bride walking here, dressed in white, lily white, shows the righteousness of the church, the purity of the church. Coming with a veiled face, in subjection, in purity. Coming to take a vow in the presence of witnesses. Coming to seal the marriage covenant by taking a token from her husband, wearing his ring, to show that she accepts the responsibility to become his wife, to be in subjection, to be ruled by him, to take his name and to bear his seed. See? And may we see that when we do these things, person dressed that way, a lot of people, it's tradition, just do it for the wedding's sake. Just dress, veil yourself. Wear a veil, we have to wear a veil, but it'll be subjection to your husband. No. That means you're in subjection. Come like, we as Christians, we have feet washed and we wash one another's feet. Because we are telling one another, we are your servant. We are our brother's keeper. We humble ourselves to you to serve you. And we esteem you better than ourselves by washing the feet. As a symbol, we do it, showing the life that we go forth and live afterwards on behalf of one another. So, when a woman does that, then right away, all parents should realize she's now going to her head. She had the name of Weston all the time. But today, she's going to forfeit that name. She will not be called Weston no more. She's going to take a new name. A name that's revealed to her that she knows the reputation of that name. Because the revelation of that a husband, Selwyn dies a husband. She knows that when she takes his name and become identified as his wife, then she have to live worthy of that name. See, a woman's role always in the Bible was to be a maker of the home. 1 Timothy 5:14 says a woman is the home builder. Genesis 3:19, God told man, by the sweat of your brow shall eat bread. Man was to be the toiler. Anything that draws the woman away from the home and breaks down the unique, separate position of the woman and motherhood is an abomination to the Lord. It's somebody trying to make somebody live different to the covenant that God put her to live under, where he is going to inspire her to live, to fulfill that role and reflect what a real woman is. Because a woman have three sacred trusts. As she comes, Bible says we find a virtuous woman. She has a virtue of sacred womanhood. Closing out with this. She must know how to behave herself around men. Because she's somebody else's wife. See? She has a sacred trust of sacred motherhood. Not try to mother a cat and a dog and don't want the responsibility of raising children. Not want to wear all kind of clothes to reveal a body when God gave her that body to nurse her children and bring forth children. See? Because she is anointed. That is really there. That's what makes her a lady. That's what makes her precious.